We're turning in our Bibles this evening to the portion of God's Word which we read together, the Gospel according to Luke and the chapter 2, and we find Mary and Joseph coming up into the courts of the temple to offer up a sacrifice for her purification. The fact that she brought a pair of turtle doves even indicates, rather than the lamb, indicates the poverty of Mary and Joseph. And then coming in, we read there in the verse 25, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him." With our Bibles before us, we'll bow together just in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we do thank thee this evening for the word of God. We rejoice, Lord, that although Satan has sought in every age to try and to destroy it, we thank thee that thou hast preserved it. We thank thee that not only hast thou given us the word of God in our hand, but we thank thee that thou hast given us to us in our own language. We rejoice that thou hast also given to us the Spirit of God to give us understanding. And we ask, Lord, that as we come to thy word, that thou wouldst open up the sacred page before us. We long tonight to be taught by the Spirit of God. We ask, Lord, that even now that you would prepare our hearts and warm our hearts so that we might be enabled even to intercede even before thee this evening. And so, Lord, to this end, close us in now with thyself. Open up thy word to us. Be thou my help, for I pray in the Saviour's name. Amen. Luke 2 in the verse 25. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him." In these words, we are introduced to Simeon. Other than his name, we are told very little concerning him. Coming into the courts of the temple, he had one thing, and only one thing, upon his mind. We read in the verse 25, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Consolation, like Emmanuel, was simply another name for the Lord. For example, Lamentations 1 in the verse 16, we find the prophet there referring to him as the Comforter, or the Consolation of Israel. And standing like a sentinel in the courts of the temple, he was looking for the coming of the Lord. He wanted to see the Lord with his own eyes. In fact, he wanted that more than life itself. And the desire of this godly saint ought to be the desire of every saint. We should long to behold the Savior. And in John's Gospel, we find a number of Greeks coming unto Jerusalem for the feast. Approaching Philip, they said in John 12 in the verse 21, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And coming up into the city of Jerusalem, they wanted above seeing the temple, or seeing the brazen altar, or seeing Herod's temple. They wanted to see the Savior. And rather than looking down, we as the people of God ought to be looking up. We should be desiring every day to see the Savior. Elijah Hewitt wrote, "More about Jesus let me learn, more of his holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me." I wonder tonight, is that the desire of your heart? Do you long tonight to see more of the Savior, more of his power, more of his love, more of his grace, more of his perfection? Is that the longing of your heart? Even tonight as you come to the place of prayer, did you come with that longing, that prayer, that you might see Jesus, that you might behold him even more fully this evening? Oh, that we would see the Lord. See him in his beauty and in his glory. And so I want tonight, just for a short time, to draw your attention to this man, Simeon. I want you to notice firstly that he was a praying man. In verse 25, we are told that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. The word waiting there actually means to plead a cause, being the same word that is used to describe the waiting of the disciples there in the upper room. We see that this man, Simeon, was praying and coming before the Lord in prayer. Notice here the promises he embraced. As well as being a just or a justified man, we're told in verse 25, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel." When we go back into the pages of the Old Testament, we find there many prophecies concerning the coming of the Lord. While Micah foretold the place of his coming, Daniel foretold the period of his coming. And as well as these promises, the Holy Spirit had given unto Simeon a personal promise. He told him in the verse 26 that he would not die until he would see the Lord. And we're told there that he was a devout man. And the word devout simply means to take hold of. And coming into the courts of the temple, he was taking hold of these promises. He was pleading them before the throne of God. I can hear him say, "Lord, fulfill thy word. Lord, let me see now thy promised son." You see, the promises of God are given not just to be pondered, but to be pleaded. There must be a claiming of them before the throne of God. Indeed, speaking in the days of Ezekiel, the Lord promised to rebuild their cities, to take away their reproach and to multiply their crops. And setting these things before them, he then added Ezekiel 36 and the verse 37, "I will yet for this to be inquired of by the house of Israel, to do it for them." The word inquired there comes from a primitive root, meaning not only to search, but to tread out. In other words, taking up these promises, they weren't merely to search them out, but they were to tread them out before God. There was to be a pleading of them before the throne of grace. You see, real prayer is pleading the promises of God. It's asking God to fulfill his word. Indeed, D.L. Moody, that great evangelist, said, "Tarry at a promise, and God will meet you there." And there needs to be a taking up of the promises of God and a pleading of them before his throne. Someone said that if you pleaded a promise, one promise every day, that it would take you 22 years to plead every promise that is in the Word of God. And perhaps tonight, like Simeon, you not only have the promises of God's Word, but you have personal promises. My God has come to you and he has given you promises concerning the work of God here. He's given you promises concerning your children or concerning loved ones or concerning your work or concerning your neighbors. Believer, like Simeon, don't be content just to rest in the promises. Don't seek to just use them as a sense of comfort, but bring them before God. Take hold of them. Bring them before God and say, "Lord, this is your word. Fulfill thy word." We are to be pleading God's promises. Nothing God desires more in prayer than to hear his own promises being brought before him. But not only did he embrace the promises, but notice also there the perseverance he exhibited. Pleading the promise, we read in verse 25, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel." Underline there the word "waited." While we're not told his exact age, it seems from verse 29 that he was ready to die. He was an old man. In fact, tradition would have us believe that he was now about 113 years of age. His beard was gray, his shoulders were stooped, his skin was wrinkled. each day looking into the face of the children that were brought into the courts of the temple, the answer came again and again, no, this is not the one. This is not the promised child. And despite the passing of the days, the months, and the years, he kept on waiting. He kept on praying. He kept on watching. And you see, as well as pleading with God, there needs to be a persevering with the Lord, a keeping on asking, seeking, and knocking. Indeed, Paul, writing unto the Thessalonians and setting before them the secret of continual joy or rejoicing evermore, he said in 1 Thessalonians 5 in the verse 17, pray without ceasing. The historian Josephus used that word translated without ceasing in his work to describe the hammering of the battering ram against the walls of Jerusalem. You remember the Romans come up against the city and they kept hammering and hammering those walls until the walls finally collapsed. In other words, Paul here was telling the Thessalonians that they were to keep on praying, keep on battering the very doors of heaven until those doors would fall down and the answer might would come to them. Prayer is not merely a matter of petitioning. Prayer is a matter of persevering with God and asking again and again and again. Now, you ever had a little child, your child come to you, maybe for his fifth birthday, and it's 6 months to the birthday, and they say to you, I want this or I want that. And when they say that, you don't immediately get in your car and go to the shop and buy that thing, because you know probably tomorrow they'll come with something different. And the reason you hold back is you want to see, do they really want it? Are they in earnest about that thing? And sometimes God holds back just to see if we're earnest. To see, do we really want that thing? And believer, if our prayers are to be answered, then we need not only to ask, but there needs to be that coming again and again and again before the Lord. Maybe you say tonight, but I've been praying, I've been asking God for a certain thing, I've been asking for weeks, preacher, I've been asking for months, I've been asking for years. I doubt, my friend, if you've been waiting as long as Simeon. Simeon waited many, many years. But the answer came. Oh, don't give up this evening. Simeon kept praying, kept pleading the promises of God. And the day came, my friend, when the promise was fulfilled before him. But not only the promises he embraced and the perseverance he exhibited, but notice also there, my, the person he encountered. Beholding the Lord, we read in verse 28, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God. Coming into the temple, Mary and Joseph that day, they weren't looking for Simeon. From the context, it would seem that they were complete strangers. However, as Simeon prayed, he suddenly beheld the Lord, lifting him up out of Mary's arms. He held him close to his heart. He could feel the warmth of his presence. You see, prayer not only carries our supplications heavenward, but it carries our Savior earthward. It brings the Lord into fellowship with us. Indeed, Daniel, fasting and praying, not for a day, not for a week, but for 3 weeks, by the river Hiddekel, we read in Daniel 10 in the verse 5, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Euphrates. And Daniel, my praying, he lifting up his eyes, what did he see? He suddenly saw the Lord. He saw him in a way and a manner that he had never seen him before. His countenance was as lightning. His eyes were as a flame of fire. And you see, my friend, if we are to feel the warmth of his presence and we're to see the wonder of his person, then we need to pray. It's only as we are on our knees that the Lord draws nigh unto us. Did Thomas not learn that the hard way? Now, he wasn't in the upper room when he ought to have been. And my friend, what things Thomas missed because he was not there in the upper room. And when we feel to pray, my, how much of the presence of the Lord, how much fellowship we miss. It was while Simeon was praying that the Lord Jesus drew near. And if we want his presence and we want to feel his warmth, then we need to be on our knees. It's only as we pray. Here was a praying man. This was the secret of this man. He was a praying man. And how every day we need to give ourselves afresh, even to prayer. But I think as we look at these words, not only do we notice that he was a praying man, but he was a possessed man. Just as the Holy Ghost had come upon Mary and had come also upon John the Baptist, even while he was still in his mother's womb, we find the Holy Spirit in verse 25 now coming upon this man Simeon and coming upon him and working within him. Notice that he disclosed the person of the Savior. Look at verse 27. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God. Generally speaking, the Jews, believing the promised Messiah would deliver the nation politically, they were looking for one coming in royal procession. In contrast, Simeon, looking up that day, all he saw was a carpenter, a young woman, and a little baby. And being only 40 days old, he would have been no different from any other baby. He would have had no distinguishing marks. However, the Spirit of God suddenly coming upon Simeon, he said, he's the one. He's the promised Messiah. You see, the Spirit of God coming upon Simeon, he revealed. He revealed in the temple that day the Savior. And my friend, the Holy Spirit is the great enlightener. Coming upon us, he reveals the Savior to us. Indeed, beholding the confusion of the disciples and seeing their fears and seeking to reassure them, the Lord told them that leaving them, he said in John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Of course, he's using the phrase all things in a relative sense. He wasn't going to teach them everything, because if they knew everything, then they would be God. But the Spirit of God coming, he would teach them all the things that they needed to know. You see, we have tonight within us a resident teacher, one who coming to us through the Scriptures will reveal the Savior even to us. You know, when Thomas Edison was a wee boy, everybody said he was dumb. In fact, his teacher was so frustrated with him that she went to his mother one day and said, your child's so stupid, I'm not going to teach him next year. Of course, the mother wasn't best pleased, and she turned to the teacher and she said, my son's not stupid, he's just different, and I'll teach him myself. And of course, being taught by a loving mother, he became the genius that he was, inventing many different things, including the light bulb. And you see, if only like Simeon, we yield ourselves to the control of the Holy Spirit, he will teach us all things concerning Christ. He will reveal to us his person. As we read the Scriptures, he will reveal to us his glory, his majesty. We'll be able to see him in the prophecies. We'll see him in the types and pictures of the Old Testament. Oh, you see, believer, we're not left to our own understanding. We have the Spirit of God. And just as the Spirit of God revealed Christ to Simeon that day, amongst all those babies, so he reveals the Savior to us. As you read the Scripture, he reveals his glory, he reveals his majesty, he reveals his person, my, to us. He is the great, my teacher. But not only did he disclose the person of the Savior, but I think that day the Spirit of God coming upon him, he directed his path to the Savior. Coming upon him, we read in verse 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. Under the law, every woman giving birth, she was required to come up into the courts of the temple, bringing with her a sacrifice. She was to offer it unto the Lord for her personal cleansing. And while Simeon knew from that the Messiah one day would have to come into the courts of the temple, he didn't know when. And coming upon him, the Spirit of God now brought him at the right time to the right place. You see, the Spirit of God coming upon him, he directed him. And the Spirit of God not only develops our minds, he directs our feet. He shows to us the way in which we should go. In fact, Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." And the word "led" there is put in the present tense, indicating a continual action. In other words, he said, the Spirit of God dwelling within you, he will continually, every day and every hour, he lead you. You see, the Spirit of God not only reveals to us the person of the Savior, but he reveals to us our path. Through the Scriptures, the way that we should walk. You know, a traveling lady one day was explaining to a stranger along the road that when she was going from place to place, she always carried a stick with her, and she would come to a crossroads, she would throw it up and the stick would fall, and whatever way it would point, that's the way she would go. And so she went down the road and he watched her, and she came to a crossroads. She threw up the stick and the stick came down, and she picked it up and she threw it again. And then she threw it again and she threw it again. And he went over to her and he said, "Madam, what are you doing?" She said, "The stick keeps pointing right and I want to go left." But you know, tonight, if only we yield ourselves to the control of the Holy Spirit, he will direct us. He'll direct us not only to the right place, but he'll have us there in the right time. He will guide us. Oh, my God has not left us alone. As he gave to Simeon the Spirit of God, he has given to every believer the Spirit of God. But coming upon him, not only did he direct his path to the Savior, but we find that he disturbed him to proclaim the Savior. Being moved by the Spirit of God, we read in verse 34, "And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel." And the Spirit of God falling upon Simeon, he couldn't remain silent. Seeing the Savior, he turning to Mary, he told her that Christ, that he would not only be the means of the salvation of many, but also the damnation of others. You see, the Spirit of God never lulls a person to silence, but he stirs him to speak. He will cause him not only to set forth the wonders of God, but also the wrath of God. And you see, believer, if only we yield ourselves to the control of God, the Holy Spirit will not be able to be silent. We'll not be able just to tell of the love of God, but we'll have to speak also of his judgment. We'll have to set forth the whole counsel of God. Christ will be like a volcano within our beings. We'll not be able to close it in. We'll have to speak. Just as Simeon turned and said to Mary, he'd be for the saving of some and the downfall of others. We'll have to tell of the Savior. Oh, the Spirit of God was upon this man. And oh, believer, if only we yield ourselves to the control of the Spirit of God, we can know his ministry in a similar manner. He was a praying man. He was a possessed man. But notice lastly here that he was a praising man. Praising the Lord. Notice there that his prayers had been answered. Look at verse 26. "And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." The name Simeon means God has heard. The promise that was given to him was that he would see the Savior. And pleading the promise, his name now was fulfilled. The Lord hearing his prayer, he not only saw the Lord, but But my friend, he took him up in his arms and he held him close to his heart and he looked into his face. The Lord is not a miser in his giving. When we pray, he not only answers our prayer, but he gives to us much, much more. Jim Elliot watching the native Indian dying in his little hut. He got down on his knees and he prayed, Lord, let me live until I have declared thy works to this generation. He didn't expect God to answer that prayer by allowing him to be speared to death before the age of 30. But you know, within 3 years, Jim Elliot's name was known right across the world. And many, many people reading his journals, they were stirred in their heart and they went to the mission field. I to declare the name of Christ. Oh, his prayer, my friend, was answered in a very strange way. But it was answered in a way that Jim Elliot could not only never imagine, but my more abundantly than he could ever imagine. I think of Hannah praying for a son. Did God just give her a son? No, he did not. He gave her Samuel, but he gave her other sons. And he gave her other daughters as well. And you see, my friend, when we come before God and we come armed with the promises of God and we say, Lord, this is what you have promised in your word, or Lord, this is what you have promised me. My friend, the Lord will only answer your prayer, but he'll give you much more. He'll give you much more. Also, I think not only was his prayer answered, but his perception had been altered. Because look at verse 29. Lord, now lettest thou my servant depart in peace according to thy word. And here, Simeon, lifting his eyes and looking into the face of Christ, he said, Lord, let me die. I don't want to stay here any longer, Lord. You see, my friend, this old world lost its attraction. It lost its attraction. And the more we discover the Savior, the less we will desire this world. Its attraction will be broken and taken even away. Why is it that many are so taken up with this world? It's because, my friend, they're so little taken up with the Lord. So little taken up with the Savior. And I tell you, the more we see the Savior, the more, my friend, we want to be with him. And the less the things of time will grasp upon our souls or draw us. But I think also his peace had been assured, because verse 29 he said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Notice there he used the word depart. You see, Simeon knew death wasn't the end. It was just the stepping stone to heaven. And praise God, even death is not the end for the believer. It's just a stepping stone. Stepping stone from this old world into the presence of the Lord. And my friend, what a day that'll be. My then will not look through a glass darkly. Then we'll see the Lord in all his glory and in all his splendor. But until that day come, let the desire of our heart be as the desire of Simeon. To see the Lord, to see more of his glory, more of his power, more of his passion, more of his perfection every single day. Oh, more of a Jesus would I know. My, what a prayer that would be. What a longing that would be, even for each of us tonight. May God enable us to see him more perfectly, even with every passing day, until that day we see him clearly, in all of his glory. May it be so. We're going to come to